Chapter 7.
The only thing more destructive than an angry Ramoan, Leia decided, was a Ramoan having convulsions. At present, Basil lay pinned between two crushed airspeeders, shuddering, flailing, and thankfully trapped in one place. But half the vehicles in the hangar had already suffered crumpled hoods or smashed fenders, and the cargo lifter's doors had been too badly dented to open. Perhaps most troubling of all, the walls and support columns were spattered with a yellow froth so foul that every breath came with a gag.
"I shouldn't have hit him with a second dart," said Mallory Ruxin,
the Duros apprentice to whom Han had entrusted the dart pistol earlier.
"But he kept trying to get up after the first one, and Captain Solo said..."
"You did nothing wrong, Apprentice Ruxin," Leia assured her. "Jedi Warv is a capable knight. As long as he was even slightly awake, he would have been using the Force to counteract the tranquilizer."
"You didn't have a choice, kid," Han agreed. "I'd have done the same thing."
A note of relief came to Mallory's face.
"Really?"
"Absolutely," Leia said. "You know how this illness confuses the mind. How would you have felt if you hadn't fired the second dart, and he had recovered and fled back out into the plaza?"
"They're right, Mel. You did him a favor," said Mallory's Jeanette partner, Rico.
He laid a copper-furred hand on her shoulder.
"If I go, Mookie, I don't want to end up iced and hanging in some GAS blockhouse for the rest of eternity. I'd rather be in a cage down below."
"If I go." Leia had not realized the situation had deteriorated far enough to make young Jedi worry about whether they would be among the next to lose their minds. But of course, it had. Until the nature of the illness was understood, the only sure thing anyone knew was that being young and Force-sensitive put you at risk. No wonder they were frightened.
"Listen to me, both of you."
Leia stepped around so that she could look at each apprentice in the eye.
"Things may look bad right now, but Master Silgal will figure this out. And when she does, Barv will definitely thank you for keeping him out of carbonite."
The two apprentices exchanged glances. Then Mallory asked,
"You're sure?"
"Trust me, she's sure," Han said. "I've been frozen in carbonite, and anything is better than that."
Rico nodded, seeming to take the Solos at their word. But Mallory gazed back toward the mountain of mottled jade flesh still shuddering between the two airspeeders.
"So anything is better than carbonite?"
she asked.
"Even dying?"
Han shot Leia a questioning glance. When she nodded for him to tell them the truth, he laid a hand on the shoulder of each apprentice.
"If you're never gonna get out, then yeah, anything is better," he said. "Even dying. But Barv here isn't gonna die. Not today."
The feeling that came to their Force auras was not exactly relief, but at least they seemed to understand. Leia confirmed their emotions through the Force and waved the two apprentices back toward the hangar entrance, where an unconscious Yakiel Savatu remained slumped against the back of the guard booth. Her hands were affixed to the collision bar above her head by a pair of plastifiber wrist restraints.
"Let's have the patients ready to transport when Master Silgal arrives," she said. "You two see to Jedi Savatu. Han and I will..."
Leia was interrupted by the ding swoosh of an arriving turbolift. Expecting to see Silgal and Tekly, she turned toward the station. Instead, Kenth Hamner stepped into the hangar. His dignified features were taut with alarm. And as he marched through the carnage toward the Solos, his reaction steadily changed to outrage.